Acts of the Apostles. But I think that it would probably be more accurately stated Acts of the Spirit. But then you get to thinking about it, is not the acts or the activity or the action of the Spirit of God only made possible through people. So the Spirit of God working through the apostles and church folk and different individuals. There's a lot of different individuals that are named in the book of Acts. It's not just the apostles. There's several that were listed as helpers, that were workers, that accompanied Paul on some of his missionary trips. And I believe that if you want to serve God, you can. I believe there's a place for you. There's a spot for you. You may not be the Apostle Paul, but you might be one that can accompany and be involved and participate and be a helper, be a fellow soldier, fellow laborer, be one that would support, be one that would exhort and so forth. But anyway, in chapter number 20, the Lord has been just ministering to my heart with this for several days. As far as to me personally, I didn't know really that I'd be preaching it this morning or if I would even be preaching it, but I knew God had been just speaking to me about it, and he confirmed it in my heart during the night that this is the direction that I need to go in, and I hope that God will use it to be a help to us, to be an encouragement to us. And I'm interested, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. If you want to read a chapter that has Paul busy, Paul was busy man. He was not a man of leisure. He was a man that when he got saved, he was wide open before he got saved. He was wide open for religion. He was very religious, very devout, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he had credentials that would cause a lot of people to envy. But I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he didn't quit serving. He didn't quit being busy. He just changed masters, and he started serving the Lord rather than religion. But we come into chapter number 20, and Paul is very active in these verses, from going from one place to another. I mean, listen, nothing stopped him. It didn't matter if it was persecution. It didn't matter if it was prison. It didn't matter if it was punishment. It didn't matter what it was. It did not stop him. You find out in the book of Acts, he was beat and left outside the gate. He was, from all practical points, he was a dead man. And many believe that he was a dead man. And that he was talking about himself when he said, I knew a man about 13 or 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body, I could not tell. He was referring to himself. He was talking about, no doubt, that time when they beat him to death and he was taken to the third heaven, to the paradise of God. And he saw things and heard things and that you and I are one day going to see and hear. And he saw those things that to the point that God had to give him a thorn in the flesh to keep his feet on the ground. It was after that time of being caught up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, the abode of God, it was after that he penned down the words, I have a desire to depart to be with Christ. It was after that he wrote the words in Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It was after that, this is all fresh, I'm just being blessed by it at the moment, but it was after that being beat to death that he pins down in the book of Romans that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God had to give him a thorn in the flesh to keep his feet on the ground. You couldn't scare Paul with death. He done saw what awaits the believer. He done got a glimpse. He done peeked over and experienced what is going to be yours and my experience, we that are saved. But now if you're lost here today, unless you get saved, that won't be none of your portion. It won't be none of that the glory which shall be revealed. And the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. In fact, when you think about the sufferings of life now, if you're lost, if you magnify the sufferings of the worst person on planet Earth that is suffering more than anybody, magnify that 1,000 times and let that be your life here. 1 second in hell, you will discover that life of suffering was really heaven compared to hell. There's no way you can grasp, no way you can comprehend, no way that we can articulate it in words, no way that you can write it in a song, no way that you can write it in a book, the horrors of hell. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. But I promise you before God, again, to witness to you this morning, that if you miss heaven, you will not miss hell. I promise you that. Amen. You better get in while the getting's good. Now, I don't know how much credibility that what I'm about to say holds with you, but I'm telling you, Bible prophecy's being filled faster than we can keep up with it. People that's got great prophetical insight in the Scripture, it's a rapid fulfillment, a rapid fulfillment. And Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming, and he's coming for a specific reason. He's coming for his own. He's coming for believers. Amen. That's exactly right. He's coming for the born again. That's why we put that on the sign, and it's still on the sign that Jesus Christ is coming only for the born again. I put that there and described it that way because I want them to identify that being saved. A lot of people ask them if they're saved. That's why I'm saved. You ask them, what do you mean saved? And they'll have all kinds of ideas on that. But when you're talking about being born again, that narrows it down, don't it? But I'm glad today that I'm in the family. I'm glad I'm in the fold. I'm glad the old account got settled 40 years ago with me. That don't have a thing to do with Acts 20, but I'd have just testified to me. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I can't believe after I don't know how many thousands of times the Lord's let me stand and preach since he saved me and called me. I'm standing here today and I can't believe I'm getting ready to preach. That amazes me. Hallelujah, Lord. Boy, bless his name this morning. He's good. And he's good all the time. Amen. But anyway, in Acts chapter number 20, I want us to look at something that really has caught my attention. And we'll just start reading. Let's just start reading in verse number 17. You need to read the whole chapter. Maybe you can do that when you get home. But let's look in verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. That's not going to be the message, but you ought to underline that statement. That statement is packed, filled, overflowing with great truth about his testimony. He said, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. This is a testimony after people had witnessed the Apostle Paul's life at all seasons. After all seasons. Up seasons, down seasons, in and out seasons, off and on seasons, good times, bad times, mountaintops, valleys, battles, burdens, whatever that came in the Apostle Paul's life. He said, you know what manner that I have been with you in all seasons. And he describes some of that, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Boy, you're talking about busy. Verse number 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to mark that verse right there for maybe a future study. That verse right there, repentance is toward God, but your faith is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is toward God because He's the one you offended. He's the one you sinned against. But your faith is directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the sacrifice. He's the substitute. He's the door. He's the only hope. And so your faith goes to Him, but your repentance is toward God. A little snippet there of what that is saying. But verse 22, this is the verse that God has been speaking to me about. This is my own life. And now, behold, see verse number 19 and 20 and 21, he basically was just coming back and giving a review testimony up to the present. But then he now brings us into the present, and that's made so or saw to be so in verse 22. And now, there's going to be your past, but then what are you doing today? What's going on in your life now? Amen. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Of course, he gave good testimony here in verse 26. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I can't say that. You probably can't say that, but Paul could say that. What about that? You ought to go back and look and look at the population. I've got it in my other preaching Bible over there. The population at that time of Ephesus, and Paul was there 3 years. Paul was there 3 years. Let me get that right quick. Some of you wonder why I bring all these. This one I've been preaching with since I started in 1981. I want to listen to this right here. It won't take me a second. It's worth mentioning. Bring us under conviction, maybe. The population of Ephesus in that day was 225,000 people. And Paul was there 3 years, according to his own testimony. And he's made the statement, I am pure from the blood of all men, signifying that Paul, in one way or another, in 3 years' time, had witnessed to every one of them 225,000 people in 3 years. If that is the case, that meant he witnessed to, he influenced preaching, ever how it was, 75,000 per year. 205 per day, 1,442 per week. If there were four people per home, that meant he witnessed and knocked on 56,250 homes in 3 years. If there was four people per home. What about that? That's 51 homes a day. Paul was a busy man. No wonder he was a hated man. No wonder that everywhere he went, people was trying to kill him, and especially religious people. It wasn't the heathens most of the time that was trying to kill him. It was the religious crowd, the idolatrous crowd. In fact, I don't have time to go back into chapter 19, but you ought to go back into chapter 19, and I'm telling you, friend, they were after it. They were after him because he was exposing the wicked goddess of Diana, and he was exposing idolatry and preaching against sin. I'm going to tell you, friend, the Apostle Paul, he would be as hated today in America as he was then if he was in our day. That's right. These big mega churches that's running many, many multiple thousands of people, they couldn't take Paul. They wouldn't have Paul to preach in their pulpit. They wouldn't even let Paul push a broom as a janitor. They wouldn't let John the Baptist come in their church not one time and preach. They wouldn't let Jesus Christ himself come in the church and preach as he would do oftentimes in his earthly ministry. He'd go in a synagogue, he'd go in a crowded place, and he'd start preaching. Amen. They wouldn't have that. Amen. You know why? Because Jesus a lot of times would preach against sin. Paul would preach against sin. John never preached nothing but sin. Amen. He had 3 points in his message, and he preached it till they cut his head off. Repent ye was the first point. Repent ye was the second point. And repent ye was the third point. And he preached against sin, and he didn't have but a 6-month ministry, and they got his head cut off. Are you listening? And it cut his head off. But I'm thankful today that the Apostle Paul didn't check the congregation before he decided on what he was going to preach. I'm glad a man of God, a real man of God. Now, a hireling is different. A hireling is different. A hireling, he checks the wind first. He looks at the paycheck first. He looks and scans the congregation and see who's in there that is in the who's who list. But boy, not so with the men of God that God used. John the Baptist, he looked at that crowd and he pinpointed Herod. I mean, he pinpointed, stuck that bony finger out, probably was about that long. Hey, man, Kingston, Ray Bearden, Brother Ray Bearden. He'll do like that right there, and it looks like it looks like a baseball bat hanging out there. I mean, boy, he'll throw that thing, preach to you. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that all of those men laid a good testimony behind. But I want to just jump into verse 22. I want to just jump into verse number 22 and point out something there that has been speaking to me, has gotten personal with me. Now, if you're looking for something deep, you're probably in the wrong spot this morning. But I want to just give you something as the Lord would help us with. Look in verse 22. And now, behold, I go, bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And of course, he goes into the next verse and he indicates something that the Spirit of God has shown him. He does know this, that in every city there's going to be bonds and afflictions abide him. He does know that. But I want you to look at the words and underline the words, at least in your mind, I go. Behold, I go. You see that? All right. And then about middle ways of that verse, there is the two words together, not knowing. He said, I go, not knowing. That's been speaking to me, and I want to just preach around on that thought a minute on not knowing but still going. Several weeks ago, we had, I think it may have been on a Wednesday night, I came in here and had leadership from the Lord to just ask for a list of things that you don't know. And we probably spent 20 minutes on that, I imagine. We didn't even have a song. We just started straight off in the service. What are some things you don't know? And I mean, it was up this side and up this side, and I don't know. And they would identify things. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know this. I don't know about Washington. I don't know about what, you know. And the list was just increasing. And if we'd have stayed on it longer, it would have got longer. It would have got bigger. But then we switched it. Okay, now that we know that a lot of things we don't know, let's have a list now of things that we do know. And of course, business picked up on that because our minds went to the Word of God. Our mind went to the promises of God. Amen. I know I'm saved. I know my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. And like Brother Fultz just mentioned that a minute ago, I know that my God changes not. I know that He's faithful. And boy, we could just on and on and on we could go. But Paul didn't say, I'm going because I know. He didn't say, I go because I know. He said, I go not knowing. I'm glad to tell you here today that God doesn't want us to be controlled by what we know, but rather who we know. Amen. Are you listening? He said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing. Not knowing, he said that out of his own mouth, but he said, I'm still going. Don't let the not knowing aspect give you an excuse for not going. God wants us to keep going. All this stuff going on in our country, in our world, all the chaos, all the everything. Listen, none of that is an excuse for us to quit going, to quit serving, to quit. Amen. Going there implies forward, a forward direction, not a reversal, not going backwards, but going forward. I wrote down this little thought. If this verse had I go and I know in it, it would have been a lot easier to read and certainly a lot easier to apply. But Paul made it clear that he said, I go not knowing. He didn't let that stop him. He didn't let that slow him down. He had great confidence in the Lord. Paul never was questioning the direction of his life. He was only questioning the details of his life. He knew from the time he got saved what God's will was for him. That he would suffer. He knew that was a part of it. That he would bear the name of God, the Lord Jesus, to the Gentiles. He knew all of that from the very start, the very chapter in Acts 9 that he got saved. God sent Ananias over there and said, go tell him this is my plan and this is my purpose for you. But you don't find Paul questioning that. When Paul said, I don't know, when he said not knowing, there's a lot of things he did know. And that's what caused him to keep going was what he did know. He knew that Acts chapter 9 was when he got saved. That right there will keep you going, won't it? When you realize, it don't matter how tough it gets, I know that I am saved. I know that I am saved by the grace of God. I know what God has done in my life. Amen. And don't ever forget that. But Paul was not questioning the duty of his direction. He had, in Acts chapter 20 here, he has known for a few chapters now that he was going to Rome. He was told of God that he was going to Jerusalem also. And guess what, Paul? Paul didn't have no problems with that. He knew that he couldn't die in Acts 27 in that storm because he hadn't arrived at Rome yet. No matter how tough the storm gets, when God says you're going to Rome, no storm is going to stop that. And so I'm thankful that Paul, trusted in the Lord no matter what was going on in his life. Again, he didn't doubt and question the direction of his life, only some details. I'm not knowing some of the details that's going to happen to me. I know that the Spirit of God bears witness in every city that bonds and afflictions are going to abide me. Now, Paul knew that, but that still didn't deter him. That did not cause him to quit. How many of us would say, preacher, I'm going to go do the Lord's will. The Lord wants me to go do thus and so. But I already know before I go that it's going to be bad. I'm going to be persecuted, probably going to wind up in jail, probably get beat. Who knows? But I'm going to go anyway. Yeah, I wonder how many of us would do that. Now, if we knew there was bonds and afflictions going to abide us in every city, in every place that he would go, I would probably And you would, come on now, you probably would, as well as I, you'd probably say, you know what, I probably need to pray about that a little more. I probably need to put out a fleece or two, and I probably need to, amen. Lord, if this is really you, let 10 pink giraffes running across my front yard. You know, if that's really you, you know. And that's the way we are. But the Apostle Paul, he was so selfless. He was so surrendered. He was so submitted to God that it did not matter if he knew it was the Lord's will to go here or to go there, even if he knew before he went that bonds and afflictions were going to abide him. Abide him means they were going to hang, they were just going to be attached to him everywhere he went. But it didn't stop him. I go. That, if you want two words to summarize the Apostle Paul, I go. And he went till they cut his head off. Amen. He went and served and preached and labored. And thank God we have the gospel today. As Gentiles here in America, we have the gospel because of the Apostle Paul being the Gentile apostle. He was the apostle that brought the gospel to the Gentile world. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful also for all the missionaries, all of the people that got saved under the Apostle Paul, that won their children to the Lord or their neighbors, and then they won somebody, and then they won somebody, and they won somebody, and they won somebody, all the way down from the Apostle Paul to the day that I heard the gospel and I got saved. And amen. What am I doing? I'm in that chain. I'm in that chain. Amen. Amen. I don't know who won Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. May have been his daddy, senior. But Ralph Sexton Jr. was preaching when Brother Randy Bain got saved. Brother Randy Bain was preaching when I got saved. And I preach down through the years when others have gotten saved. And then they probably are, you know, some of them surrendering to preach. Some of them are teaching. Some of them are serving. Some of them are, amen. And they're winning people to God. Oh, yes. That's what's keeping it going. That's what's keeping the door open. That's what's keeping the gospel going, is people winning people to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You that are just, you young converts, you that's not been saved that long, you know what you need to be doing? Telling it. You say, but preacher, I don't know all the Bible. I don't know the doctrines of the Bible. I don't know how... I don't know the deep things that are in the Bible. Show me where you have to know that. Now, you should want to learn. You should want to grow. You should want to, to mature spiritually and scripturally. That ought to be the case. But how can you beat your testimony? That woman at the well, she hadn't set no classes. She hadn't set any do better classes, straightening up classes. You know what she did? She was so excited that she finally met a man that truly did love her and cared for her soul and won her to God. Amen. That she went through town and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She just got saved. She knew she needed to be saved. She knew who saved her and what God did for her, he could do for others. And so she just went through town. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come and see. Come and see. Not go and see. Come and see. Come and see means I'll lead you. Follow me. I know where he's at. Come and see. Amen. Come. Come and see. Amen. Oh, we're without excuse. When you get saved, friend, You know the basics. You know the basics. And that'll work talking to others. And if they ask you some deep question, some controversial question, something in the Bible that you probably never even heard of, just say, there's nothing wrong with saying, look, I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. I've never studied that out. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll talk to my preacher, or I'll study that, or we'll research that out. I'll get back to you on that. But in the meantime, let me just tell you. I was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. Amen. Now I'm found. Oh, could I tell you that, listen, I was miserable. I was lost. I was a nobody going nowhere except on the broad road headed for hell. But I met Jesus. Whether it was in a church service like it happened to me, whether it was at your home, at the job site, in your automobile, like Brother Ivan, he got saved in a deer stand. Hey man, Brother Larry Tinsley got saved in the shower. I mean, listen, I don't know where you got saved. Now, listen, use that. God will anoint truth. God will anoint truth, and your testimony is true. You ought to tell, so look, I was lost in this, and God saved me. And go through the details of that. Go through the details of how you thought there was joy in sin, and you found over and over and over again that sin was an empty promise. It was a promise that never fulfilled. It was a lie that never had any substance to it. Amen. And tell those people that. I can't tell you everything that's in the Bible, but I can tell you what happened to me. And what happened to me, Jesus will do for you. You need peace? Do you need peace? Ask him, do you have peace? No, would you like to have peace? You have joy? No, would you like to have joy? Amen. And all of that, would you like to have purpose in life? Well, yeah, I'd like to do something worthwhile. You'd like to have purpose in your life. And then tell them about Jesus. You don't have to know everything that there is to know. But I do know this, that everybody that God saves, he wants you to win somebody else to the Lord. Amen. You can't deny that in the scripture. God wants you to win somebody to Jesus. And the true sign of carnality is that never happens. A true sign. The Apostle Paul, thank God, he brought the gospel to us and he waded through hardship, adversity, trials beyond description to bring us the gospel. What if the Apostle Paul had been weak and flimsy and a wimp like most people today? If they even think you're looked at them wrong, they're going to get the poochie lip. Why, you could beat Paul to death and you still couldn't keep him down. Amen. Paul probably would have been okay to have stayed in heaven when he went, but God said, no, I'm not done with you yet. I called you to be the gospel of the Gentiles, and there's some Gentiles that don't have the gospel yet, so you better get back down there, get back in your body, and get back with it. Amen. That's right. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Amen. But anyway, Paul is making this statement. I go not knowing, but still going. A lot you don't know, a lot we won't ever know, but that don't stop us. We're still going. You ought to just say that to yourself. I've been trying to say that to myself this week, last week. God, I'm still going. I don't have to know what everybody's doing. Amen. How many's been surprised over the past 18 months? Things come that you didn't expect. Things happen you didn't expect. What are you going to do? Quit every time that happens? Are you going to quit every time you're disappointed? Are you going to quit every time you hurt? Are you going to quit every time you're afflicted? Are you going to quit every time you're persecuted? Are you going to quit when it gets tough? Are you going to quit if our country turns into a socialist, communist country? And it's close to it now. Are you going to quit serving God if there's a price to it? Are you going to quit serving God if there's a penalty to it? We've gotten so used to the sunshine that even something even remotely looks like a negative, it throws us for a loop. I tell you, I've been praying here lately that God would help me. I'm not talking about emotionally. I said, God, I need you to help me. I want to have what I need to have on the inside of me that'll stand when nobody else will stand when nobody else can or whatever. Even if there's a price to it, I want to have on the inside of me what I need. Amen. And I'm here lately, you know, I'm not going to go into details about it, but here lately, I mean, I've had my heart ripped out of me, but I want to tell you what, God showed me. He said, you see how you responded to that? As far as your attitude, your drive to go forward. I said, yeah, Lord, I seen that. I noticed that in my own heart. Come on now, you can look sanctified all you want to, but we're all in this together, I'm telling you. Amen. Said, did you see that? Did you see how quickly not quitting, but leaving came across your mind? You see how quick that was? You see how quick that was that you started thinking about that and started thinking about, all right, where am I going to live? And here's what am I going to do? And what am I going to do about it? Making a living, and I'm making plans and all that. And God said, see there how quick you did that? I said, God, you're letting these hard times surface weaknesses in me. You're letting hard times show Preacher Rackley he's not where he thinks he is or where others think he is. Come on now. I don't see no halos in here. We're all seeing people respond to this junk going on in our land, and we're watching. Listen, I'm talking about people, even this morning, heartaches and different things coming in your life, and you didn't ask for it. You wouldn't have wanted it. You would have wished otherwise, but you're there, and you're dealing with it, and you're having to face it. But instead of looking at it critically, why don't we look at it and say, Lord, examine me through this. Lord, test me through this. Lord, check me in this. Check me. I don't want a spirituality that's totally emotional. Because if you've got an emotional spirituality, what are you going to do when the emotions are not there? Or when the glad emotions are replaced with sad emotions? What are you going to do with that? Amen. Thank God for the emotional aspect of spirituality, but you better not base your spiritual life and your devotion and your service and your faithfulness and your perseverance. You better not base it on how you feel or how others treat you or what others say about you. If that is the case, I'll go ahead and prophesy, you are not going to make it. You're not going to make it. That's right. Now there was a time, Brother Fultz, there was a time that casual Christianity would have been fine, but not in our day. No, no, no. The devil's bringing out the big guns, friend. The devil's bringing out his big guns. And listen, we better not be playing games. We better be preparing. Amen. Let me go on. Look at this. He said, I go. Let's look at that word just a minute. I go. That word just simply means I travel, traverse, I live, I depart, I go away, I go forth. I go one's way, I go up, make, take, a journey to walk. All those words we can relate to. He said, I go. I'm walking, I'm living, I'm moving, I'm advancing, I'm progressing. He said, I'm going. And a lot of people has a problem with that word go. In fact, look back in the very first verse of chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed for, here's the same word, in the same chapter, for to go into Macedonia. Go. That's the same word in Matthew 28 that's in the Great Commission. Go ye into all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Are we going to let what we don't know stop us from going, continuing to give, continuing to pray, continuing to live for the Lord? Listen, if anybody had an excuse, the Apostle Paul had an excuse. Amen. And you may have an excuse when you suffer more than he did. When you've been beat more than he has. When you've been killed more than he has. You got something you can talk about. Well, listen, We'll listen to you. But until then, we're without excuse. We're without excuse. The word go several times is used in like travel talk. And it's translated, I found some where it said, it was translated, go thou, or go ye, or they departed, or they went. And so it's really a travel term. It's a progression term. You're departing one place and you're moving toward a destiny in another place. God wants us to keep going even though we don't know. Keep going even though we don't know. Amen? Not knowing, but keep going. Listen at this right here. That word go was used the very first time in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, 20, and 21. And this is when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph, we know this story, in Egypt, saying, arise, take up the young child and his mother and go. Are you listening? The first time we see this, we find that it's always associated with a command. It's always associated with a course, a direction. And here, and Paul uses this same word, the Holy Spirit uses this same word, and behold, I go. It's a command. You know when you'll be contemplating quitting? It's when you start looking at going as optional instead of going as a command. Amen? God wants us to, and we'd better get that. We better be command controlled versus circumstance controlled. It's what we better do. This same word, go, was used in Matthew 8 in verse number 9. And this was a man speaking, I believe he was a centurion. And he said, go, or verse number 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, here it is, go, and he goeth. I tell this man to go, and he responds by doing what? Going. God has told us to go. God has told us to go. You know, when you got the go message, when you got saved, when you left the starting line of your race of faith, listen, that's when you started. And God is not going to tell you now, oh, stop, it's still difficult. Stop. You may have to be persecuted. Stop. America is not like it used to be. Stop. Churches are not like it used to be. Stop. No, the word is still go. Keep going. I say to one, go, and he goeth. God says for us to go, you know what our response to that is to be? Goeth. That's right. That's right. Amen. So he tells us to go. But then he uses the word know, knowing. He said not knowing, verse number 22. Not knowing the things which shall befall me there. Not knowing the things that shall befall me. Listen, that befall me, that is not pleasant terms. That's not terms of blessing. That is terms of burden. That's terms that we would view physically as negative. Things that are going to fall on me. Things that are going to fall in my life. And that word knowing means to see. It means to see, to be aware of, behold, to tell, to have knowledge of, to perceive, to be sure of, to understand. When he said not knowing, he said there are going to be some things that I'm not seeing. There's going to be some things that I'm not aware of. There'll be some things that I am not that I can't tell you about. There's some things that I don't have knowledge of. There's some things that I've not perceived. There's some things that I've not understood. But he said, I'm still going. I'm going. I'm going even though not knowing, I'm still going. Oh, we want to wait and see. We want to figure it out. We want to check it out. Amen. And see how it's going to turn out. We want to see how it's going to turn out before we commit. No, Paul said, Lord, you saved me, and as a result of that, I do not belong to myself. I am not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. And he yields himself to the Lord and to be used as he sees fit. And sometimes God's ways are not our ways. In fact, probably all the time. And he's going to use you in ways that you it may not feel good. I wonder if we're that committed this morning. I wonder if we're that surrendered to the Lord this morning that we could go on and serve God in the fiery furnace. We could go ahead and serve God and pray in a lion's den. I wonder if we knew if we was really, really, really going to get thrown in a den of lions, not the lion's den. Lion's den means it's a lion where they live, but they may not be at home. But if it's a den of lions, that's a different story. I wonder if we'd pray on. I wonder if we'd leave the window open as Daniel did and pray anyhow. I believe I'd have said, I'm going to pray, but I feel like the Lord wants me to pray with the window closed today. I believe the Lord wants me to pray in my closet. I believe the Lord just wants me to kind of pray like Hannah, you know, my mouth moved, but nobody hears a voice. I think that's what, but no, what did Daniel do? He knew that the decree was set. He knew the penalty. He knew what the results was going to be. But the Bible said he prayed as aforetime. He didn't start, okay, well, they're listening now. I better get over here next to the wind and pray. I better open the wind and pray. No, he just prayed as before. Amen. He was faithful to continue serving and praying, even though he knew that the lion's den or the den of lions was going to be his portion. I wonder how many of us would be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wonder how many of us would have stood, Brother Jeter, knowing the fiery furnace was the punishment. I wonder how many of us would have done. No, we'd have probably had that attitude. Well, you know, after all, God looks on the heart. And I believe if I just bow down here, the Lord knows in my heart that I'm not bowing down to that gold statue. The Lord knows in my heart, you know, that I'm really not, I'm praying to you, Lord. You know that. And I'm not to impress people, and I'm not, you know, it don't matter what they think anyway, Lord. I'm talking to you, amen. But what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? When everybody heard the sound of the music and bowed, they stood. They remained standing, which drew attention. Separation draws attention. They were separated, and they did not bow with such a penalty. I wonder what would our response be under those circumstances. And watch the decree be put in motion and got some strong men to go over and heat it up 7 times hotter than it has ever been. And you ought to study that out. It's like 13,000 some odd degrees. What I did on that was you take the temperature that gold melts, because that's what that furnace was used for, to melt gold, to build images and all of that. And then you just multiply that 7 times. And they watched those men. They watched that. And no telling how far away you could feel that heat off of that. Still didn't change their mind. Shadrach didn't say, Abednego, man, you feel that? You feel that? We're 100 yards away from that thing. And man, I feel it plumb over here. You think we might ought to tell them to give us another chance? No, they never batted an eye. Do we have that kind of submission? Do we have that kind of surrender? It don't take nothing to knock us off our feet, and I did say us, including me. It don't take nothing to cause us to stumble around with our spiritual life. There's people everywhere. Listen, there is people everywhere. I'm not just saying that. I'm not going to mention the name of the preacher because we're on live stream. Found out last night. And he preaches our December revival, and everybody knows who that is. One that fell out of some kind of lift, whatever it was. I just found out last night he had, and they ain't a better preacher in the country. They ain't a better preacher in the country. You'd think people would be willing to drive hours to go to his church. Found out last night he had five families to walk out and leave him. If five families walks out and leaves that man of God that I'm talking about, and you know, you've heard him many times, a Bible preacher, a kind-hearted, tender man, if they leave him, oh, buddy, we are in perilous days. We're in perilous days. Perilous days, friend. And I could name them. I could name it. I could name others. And I don't want to mention that because that's just, but that goes to show us where we are. People that said, I'll never leave, I'll never do, I'll never go, or whatever. My friend, listen, the devil can get in their head with those seducing spirits. And guess what? They'll think they're doing right. They'll think they're going right. Think they're following the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, friend, God's been a checking me on this. Are you willing to go not knowing? Are you willing to keep preaching not knowing? Are you still willing to keep on doing the way you've been doing now for 40 years? Are you going to keep doing that, not knowing what's going to be the punishment? Not knowing what's going to be the outcome? Sister Hayes, it's not far-fetched. It's not far-fetched to think the way our country's going and all the mandates and all of the penalties and all of that that's going to be associated if you don't do as the government says. You're either going to be unemployed or you're going to be this and you're going to be penalized. That's stinking communism. That burns me up. Could we not see it, Brother Fultz, that could keep trickling on down to where they would start gaining control? We're already censored now till it's pathetic. You can't say nothing about anything about this going on, and you're subject to be put in Facebook jail. I know that's persecution. God help us. You know they'll delete your post, or they'll flag your post. You can't even. It's not even a country of free speech anymore. It's a shame that we're not governed by the Constitution of the United States. We're governed by the left wing party. Whatever they say in the stinking media that goes with it. Brother Mike, would it be, am I way out in left field to say that there's a possibility that if I don't cower down and if I don't water down the message, that I possibly could be fined? Do you think that it, listen, do you think back last year when they had all the mandated shutdowns and all that stuff, did we not all see police going inside churches and arresting the preacher? In America, not a third world country, not communist China, no, right here in America. And if they get to do that and get by with that and get away with that, what would stop them from knowing that Preacher Rackley preaches as the Lord leads him on sin occasionally, and they come and knock on the door and say, you're going to have to not preach on this. You can't preach against sodomites. You can't preach against lesbianism. You can't preach against the LGBTQ, RSB, LO, and Y. Amen. You can't preach against that. If you do, you're going to jail. And anybody that sits on the pews and supports you, well, go too. I wonder how quickly our church would empty out. Preacher, we're going to pray for you at the house. We're going to willfully quarantine ourselves at the house. Amen. Help us, Lord. If knowing is the condition that you must have to decide whether you quit or not, guess what I can tell you? If not knowing, you've got to know before you progress, before you go forward, before you continue on, before you commit to God. You've got to know the outcome. You've got to know the details. You will not make it. For instance, let's look right here in the text. Let's put ourselves right there. All right, let's read verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. That's what he said he didn't know. Look at the next statement. This is what he says he does know. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. If you have to know all the details before you commit, you won't make it one verse. You won't even make it to the next verse when you find out that the bonds and afflictions are going to abide you. You're out. You're out. You won't make it. But Paul just kept going. Amen. Knowing does away with all surprises and shocks. Well, we could preach on that. Knowing is not required before going. Many have not gone because they have not known. I don't have to know everything before I go. You've heard me make those statements already this morning. Paul said, I go before he even said, not knowing. He didn't wait to see. He went ahead and just declared right off the bat, I'm going. And then he wrote in the same verse, not knowing. Amen. Well, that's good, ain't it? Here's another place that word, well, let me give you this. Let me just skip on down. Not only did he use the word go and the word not knowing, but look in verse 22. This got big to me, and I'm just going to hit it here. We're about done. Look at verse number 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. There it is. Paul is not talking external circumstances that influence his choices. Paul said, on the inside of me, the spirit within me, there is an obligation inside of me. That word bound means, it's a primary verb, and it means to bind or to be in bonds, to knit or to be tied to. And that word is illustrated in Matthew 12 in verse number 29. When it talked about the strong man being bound. How can a house be, how that goes there, Matthew 9, or 12 and verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. So here in this passage, the word binding or bound is in our verse. Is used to show two things. You got one being bound, and you got one doing the binding. And the one doing the binding goes into the strong man's house and binds him, which means he's stronger than he. When a stronger than he is come. Well, Paul is saying, there's a bond inside of me. There's a bond in my spirit on the inside of me that keeps me going. And keeps me pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We could mention other things, we could say other things, but I want to ask you, would it be much easier for you to go if you knew all the details, if you knew all the direction, you knew the outcome, you knew who would like you, if you knew all of the positives, if you knew that, or could you just say, you know what, Lord, whatever my course lays out for me, whatever my lot is, Lord, I'm going to serve you. And you give me wisdom from day to day. Paul, look this right here. Look at the very first verse of chapter 20. And after the uproar was ceased. Paul starts the chapter out talking about going through an uproar. He said, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples, showing that uproars are not permanent. They will cease. And after they cease, Paul said to his disciples, he called them unto him, he embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. He started drawing strength from other believers, other disciples. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. He goes from Macedonia to Greece. He goes back to Macedonia, verse number 3. He's constantly going from here, Troas, verse 5. He's going from one place to another. He's laboring. He's serving. He's being persecuted. But it don't stop him. He don't even quit church. 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Oh, yes. And he continued his speech until midnight. He's my hero. Continued his speech until midnight. And then the story of Eutychus, the young man that was in the window that fell asleep and fell out of church. Those two things go together. But then Paul talked about his long preaching in verse number 9 and continued preaching until daylight. How would you like to have heard that? How would you like to have heard that? Amen. The Apostle Paul preached till midnight. They had a bad thing happen in church. Somebody fell out the window and died. That didn't even stop Paul. Paul paused, went down however he got out, down the steps, down there. Eutychus, somebody said that's his name, Eutychus. They said Eutychus too if you'd have fell out the window. But anyway, Paul went down there and got on him and fell on him there. And brother, that boy come back to life. He raised him back up. Guess what? They went up, back up the steps, back up into the church, and Paul commenced preaching. But I guarantee you that window was vacant. Eutychus didn't go back to the wind, I promise you. He got on the front row or else on the altar, and he was hollering, "Preach, man of God. It's not daylight yet. Preach. Who needs to eat? Preach." He had all kinds of trouble. He had all kinds of problems. He had all kinds of things that got in his way. But he kept operating on those two words, "I go not knowing. I go not knowing. I don't know, but I'm still going. I don't know, but I'm still going." Amen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what phone calls I'm going to get this evening. I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. Isn't that right? God help us. It's a shame you can't have any confidence in your government. It's a shame you can't have any confidence in the medical field. It's a shame you can't have any confidence in much of anything in this world. But I want to tell you, Miss Hayes, you can look through this right here. You can turn your eyes and lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. The Lord's not giving me a reason to question Him or to lose confidence in Him. We ought to say to you, "Lord, I trust you. If you've got bonds and afflictions in my life, help me to stay spiritual. Help me to stay right with God. Help me to stay sweet. Help me to keep preaching. Help me to keep laboring." Amen. Not knowing, but still going.